I'll be like Jack. I should go put him in here.
Mics are live. He comes
back. Okay. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on case number PU-15-96, an NSP request for advanced termination of prudence for Mankato Energy Center. We had a hearing in October on this issue. Gosh, it seems like just the other day. Here it is already February 1st. So I think that we probably have just a few things to discuss and we can move on. But Commissioner Culk, this is your portfolio. I don't have any opening comments. Do you have any opening comments, Randy?
I don't have any opening comments per se. I think I kind of know what direction I'm heading on this. Unless there's new information, I would hold back to see if there's anything new or a compelling argument or something. But so at whatever point we're ready to start talking about opinions or discussion, I'm ready, but I'll wait. I don't know if there's anything new.
I'm the same, so go ahead, Brian. Okay. You go ahead and run.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first off, just thank everybody for being here today. I see behind me we've got quite a crowd of folks from Excel. I just remind them that it is available over the Internet or we do broadcast. But they already have a bunch of work out here this week. We've got Jerry and Alana here from our staff. Jerry and I have been tracking this pretty close, obviously, and one of the points that you brought out that this is somewhat dated. I mean, and I think that when Jerry and I have been tracking this, it's that we got a lot of things in front of us from Excel and that we've worked through recently. There was the solar. There's the restack. We've got a work session on tomorrow. And while these are separate cases, I know that Jerry has been kind of watching this very closely to see how that might interact with some of the stuff here. And not that that's an excuse why it's taken so long, but I think that's just a factor of why we didn't get to a work session till now, because I know there's a lot of different variables at play. But the point is, for me personally, I mean, I'm open to hearing more discussions and hearing what Jerry may have to offer up as a staff recommendation. I did notice he didn't submit one, and so I talked with him, and he said he's able to answer our questions, but he feels that we've got a recommendation from advocacy staff that speaks quite a bit, and, of course, the company's made their case. But for me, I mean, Jerry and Lana, you guys don't have anything prepared today that you wanted to submit, do you? That's kind of what I thought. Right, so I guess if you two don't mind. Go ahead.
The question then is what the company filed last week,
no.
Or maybe they haven't filed anything, but they talked about this integrated resource plan. Is there anything in there that affects this?
They filed a supplement to the resource plan that I haven't gotten all the way through it yet. I've looked at it a little bit. I didn't see a revised load forecast in there, so I don't think there's much in there that would affect this. I might be missing something, but, you know, their big thing is the retirement of Sherco, which was not in their 2015 resource plan when they first filed it. At that time, they had visioned that Sherco would stay in operation all the way through through the planning period, through 2030. And so that's a big thing in here. And they talked about it a little bit before we got to this, too. But now I think they're looking at 2023 for Sherco 1 to be retired. And their existing capacity shortage now and from their plan in 2015 was to start in 2024 that they would need capacity. So this is, the 2023 is definitely a factor with Sherco going through. But I don't know that it judges exactly when the capacity would be needed on this Calpine, for this Calpine thing.
Mm-hmm. I think Jerry, I just asked him this before we came in, that is not advocating that you consider the most recent IRP filing, the Friday filing, that you add it, that you ask to add it to this record. correct? I mean, we're not finding anything in there at this point that we think needs to, because you'd have to add it to this record and allow parties to comment or dispute if you wanted mm-hmm. to put the most recent filing in. But I think we're saying that we don't see any reason to do that.
I'm thinking that the filings before this one were in, so we yes. have their base load forecast and that stuff
yes.
already in the record.
So this is the most recent one, as they've characterized it, is consistent with the previous.
For that period going up to when Sherco's lost, there might be some little differences yeah. on how much solar they want and stuff like that in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if I could, Madam Chair, I just think that, I mean, it's all good discussion, but I remember after the hearing thinking, this may not be a bad idea to hedge a little bit. They don't need it right now, so maybe you can get a good deal dialed in. And I really thought through that over the last month or so and reviewed all the testimony. But I go back to where I'm at is, you know, the advocacy staff, you know, their page 7 of their witness basically says NSP does not need any generation resources prior to 25. They talk about, you know, it fails to include the current reserve margin methodology. I mean, this is an ADP. We don't have to approve it. This is a commission may approve, not shall approve. I would really have a hard time approving an ADP on this. If they want to go do it, they can. We give them some flexibility. We don't think it's prudent. We can't find it prudent this time. It doesn't mean it's not prudent. And give it back to them, and they make a decision based on what they do, and we work it out in a rate case down the road if they go forward and do it. These fluctuations are when they need things are changing hourly. And the RTO worlds, what the reserve margins may or may not be, what the clean power plan may or may not be. But I think it'd be a hard stretch to say we think this is deserves an ADP now. I just think that'd be a hard stretch for me to get to.
The advocacy staff's proposed findings takes pretty much that approach. If you have time to read through it, but it talks about many of the underlying facts are undisputed. It's only a question of whether that, that leads to a prudence conclusion at this time, and then the order, the proposed order, points out some of the variables, some of the open questions, and concludes that hasn't shown it's prudent at this time. So if you want to read, like, the two operative paragraphs, those two long paragraphs, 12 and 13, in their proposed findings, that's, I think, pretty much what Commissioner Kalk is saying, as I read it, anyway.
I think Brian said it better, though. No.
I was going to say
that. I just joking there, but seriously, you did say something profound there that the needs for the future are changing almost continuously, and so it is practically impossible to really gauge that with any amount of accuracy. And also within what's on the record, since we're talking about a hearing that was months ago before even some of the changes that now are in effect. And, you know, as I've thought about that, I guess coming into that hearing, I was completely against this. Coming out of it, I probably had gained some appreciation for the project. In the time since then, of course, the courts have not stayed the clean power plan. So, I mean, there's still hope, but I don't know that it's a hope that I want to put a lot of weight behind. It looks like until the complete court case goes into effect, that's going to be the law of the land, and companies are going to be making changes, not in preparation for a 2030 mandate, but for mandates that go into effect in 2022 through 2024. And so, you know, I went through and refreshed myself on their capacity projections back when the application was filed, that there was a modest excess until 2018 and then none for 19 and 20, and then small because of the addition of some hydro in 21 to 23, and then the deficit starting in 2024. Well, I don't know. The Canadian government has changed, and the United States government has maybe damaged the friendship or relation some. We have denied them the ability to build a pipeline across our country, and I'm not sure that hydro can be counted on in the same way now as it could a couple months ago, or certainly when however long ago this was first prepared. I do think, though, a lot of companies are going to have to be making changes, and so whatever excess capacity might be available here for a few years is probably something that can easily be sold. But the biggest thing that I've thought about is, how did we get to the place that we've been at the last couple decades of having cheap, affordable power in the Midwest? And I don't think it was done because leaders several decades ago waited until the precise moment there was need and then did whatever it was that would get them through the moment. They thought big and thought long and built stuff that would be the most efficient for a long period of time. And those things couldn't all have gone online within months or even a year or two of exactly when all that capacity was needed. And not that I think we're going to go back to that day and start building coal plants anytime soon here. I wish we could, but it's not going to happen. With all the renewables that have been added, and certainly, you know, I don't know exactly where we are in the line as far as maintaining frequency, but I've certainly heard discussion among energy experts about a concern for that there be enough frequency in the system to keep things going. I do think something big and dependable needs to be built, and that we can't be parochial. As much as I'd like to see it built in North Dakota, the fact of the matter is a lot of energy generation has been built in North Dakota that exports power. And in this case, it's a place at Mankato where there's the crossing of the transmission and the pipeline and a plant that was built in a way that allows this expansion in a relatively smooth way. And so, I don't know, I'm having a hard time now denying the ADP on this.
So what would you use as the rationale to do it, to beef up the record then? All what you just said? Because we're going away from a lot of the principles if we don't have a good need for it now.
Well, of course, things having to do with the Clean Power Plan and things like that just aren't on our record, so they're not there. But just the principle that if we're ever going to do something beyond, okay, we'll build a little 100 megawatts of wind or 30 megawatts of solar or something, and then a few months later we'll go and build a little gas peaking plant. If we're ever going to do something bigger than 50 or 100 megawatts at a time, it's not going to fit into a niche where it just automatically, boom, that's where you need it. And the fact that this project is available, if not to XL, I'm sure it'll be made available, I believe that was on the record, to someone else, that Calpine wants to construct this, and here's an opportunity because of the fact that it's on the gas line and near the transmission and on this brownfield site for customers of XL to get, what everybody agreed would be from 2024 on, an efficient plant built. And I don't see a likelihood that there's going to be big losses. I don't even think there's going to be any losses on it, because I think the power is going to be able to be sold in those years until 2024. But if there are, I think they'll be very minimal, because I do think there will be options to to sell that power. But if we're ever going to do something big and efficient, I think this is one that really lays out that way, the fact of where it's located. And I think it's just on the overall weighing both sides, I think it's something that will long-term be a good opportunity for the customers of Xcel.
It's funny you say that, because if this was a facility to be owned by Xcel Energy, I would be supporting it. The fact that it's a PPP for 20-some years, and then they have to go back and renegotiate, that's a big factor. If Xcel was going to own this thing,
it would be easier then.
I would say no question about it. But the fact that it's just a PPP, that after they don't need it for the first few years, and then just to the point when it starts getting really good, then they're going to go back out and renegotiate it. So that's a big factor to me, is if they owned it, I'd say yeah. I just don't think it's enough. But your points are good.
Most of the 20 years would be from 24 on. You know, it's not like it's like 3 or 4 years fitting into that 20-year contract, but that is certainly a point that has merit.
Well, you make some good points in reviewing this for today too. I read the company's information first and thought, geez, this is, you know, there's some compelling arguments and reasons for it. But then, you know, weighing through the other side, I don't know. I think that there's so many uncertainties that could swing the other way, that I think it's more prudent to wait until more of those uncertainties can be eliminated, and you have a more clear picture of what you're looking at. And I love good deals. I mean, and it is a good deal. There's no question about the fact that this resource is coming before us at a very good price. But I would argue that we have low energy costs in this region because we were really deliberate about adding energy when low-cost energy when it was needed. And I think you've got almost, you know, one of the lines that advocacy staff said, almost 30% of the contract term is expired before the resource is needed, you know, before the identified need. And from when we first started looking at this until now, that time period has been pushed out. Now there's more justification for the time period for this resource because of the retirement of Sherco, but I don't know if that's being driven by the company having to retire Sherco sooner or just deciding they want to, because they want to be a leader in meeting the Clean Power Plan goals. And they, you know, because either whether they retire it in 2023 or 2026 or 2028, the SCR wasn't needed until after 2030, I believe. I just went and confirmed, or late 20s. So that big investment isn't going to be needed in 2023. And those plants, they could stretch them out, get more of the benefits of those while customers are still paying for them, and not need this resource. And I don't know how they're going to add this resource and the one they've committed to in North Dakota by 2025. I don't know how that all comes together, that they could do this plus that when they don't even show a need for this until 2023. So, you know, the fact that it's we'd be committing 7 years ahead of time to this resource before it's needed, that's a lot. Advocacy staff said $12.9 million would be paid by up to $12.9 million from North Dakota customers before it's needed. Now, again, if you sell it, I'm not sure. If you sell that, if that number goes down, I suppose it does if you're selling the capacity. I just kind of think that the company should wait until some of these uncertainties are clear. Maybe there's better deals on the market then. Maybe there's more competition. Maybe there's, you know, cheaper technology. Maybe they need something else. Maybe wind and peakers proves to be, I mean, that technology is changing every year. It's getting more and more efficient. Maybe that's the way this is going to go. And the technology evolves to the point where you don't need as much baseload. I don't know. None of us do. That's why I think it's I'm leaning towards the prudent decision being to wait.
Well, there's nothing. I mean, I don't, Randy. What are your thoughts that you want to go through again?
I can't really think of any more questions either.
Well, because the, I mean, back to the legal interpretation, and they can still do this, and they can still come back in the future rate case and do what they do. But as long as, I mean, I'm not saying reject this with prejudice. I'm saying give the light touch and send it back to them and say it doesn't appear to be, we cannot conclude it's prudent. Don't say it's not prudent. We cannot conclude it's prudent.
And they can still do it, and this whole conversation, all that I'm thinking about is this is what makes the advance prudence so hard. If it were
right.
If it were later, the decision in the commission would be a lot more obvious because the uncertainties would be gone.
Well, but I think that I'm trying to be clear myself to the company. If they go ahead and build this themselves, I would have thought this. I would have looked at it differently. PPP is a different way than owning something yourself.
Right.
So that's I understood when I was not around with the prudent decision. But I've talked to, you know, Bob Gravel many times when I first got here about where the prudency started, and it was when companies wanted to build stuff and own it themselves. That's what the prudence was set for ADP, not to go out and do power purchase agreements. It's to go build stuff, go build big things to get money for it that they knew when it come back in front of the commission wasn't going to cut them off the knees if they went and invested in a 345-megawatt gas plant or a 500-megawatt coal plant, not for PPPs.
Right. We've hired them to come back, and we keep scolding these companies for coming here and asking for prudence when we are requiring NSP to do this. So that's not their fault. It's ours.
No. I think you're talking coming, and he's talking about the statute. The statute did add PPA to it, but you're right. The conversations originated with investment in
and you're right.
Capital
we
investment.
Tell them to come back, so it's not like they have a choice. But right. So we can have this discussion with them, and I think all three of us are clear in our thoughts to them, and there's no surprises. I think they've heard that if they go ahead and do this, they come back, it's going to be an open-minded commission to look at it at that time. That's what I think I've heard today. So that's why I
And if they were building it themselves, they'd probably wait a few years.
Sure.
They needed the
because then they would control those factors.
Right.
If they were building it themselves, it would be on property that is not this property right. Where this opportunity lies, though. I mean, this crossing of the transmission and the right. Gas line occurs somewhere else. And if someone wants to take advantage of that, I suppose the time is now.
Sure. Well, I don't know. This is one of those areas that if there's time to reschedule in a work session, if we want to do that, or if this is an area that we're kind of dug in at, then I think we just proceed because for me, I'm pretty dug in here.
Well, I mean, I it's clearly one of those areas where it can go either way. And, you know, none of us have a crystal ball to be able to determine. So you kind of just have to go with you. I mean, I stick to my, you know, basic principles that you shouldn't, just because you can get something at a good deal, if you don't need it, it's still not a good deal. Then, yeah, it's like, or, you know, buying my kids clothes 2 years ahead of time. They may or may not fit when they, you know, grow. And this is kind of the same thing. We may or may not fit into this. It might be too much. So it's probably a better deal to wait until, you know, are more clear about those things.
So I think we've got until the end of March on these. There's language in the contract that they filed supplemental that says that if they haven't gotten a determination by the end of March, that they can walk away from the contract if they want, NSP can. And so I'm thinking that I mean, we could draft an order and come back later in this discussion and have plenty of time to have another work session to look at it then with the order in if you want.
And what information would we have that would be different then?
Just a draft order in front of you to look at, and we could draft something for you.
Jerry or Alana, do you think there's any likelihood that this would be constructed without ADP?
Yeah.
Well, not constructed, but the power purchase agreement would occur.
I think it's a likelihood.
I think we're 5% of their bills, yeah. And they're going to build this thing. They're going to enter into it, and we don't bind a future commission by not approving this, or not. I always get caught up in the wordology. We just look at it when it comes back to us. I think they're moving forward on it. So
I'm comfortable with that approach because it basically does say we can't determine it's prudent. So if we look at it during a rate case, we can determine if it makes sense then.
When I thought about the flip, because I agree with that, Commissioner, I did think about the flip side, though, of if we said it was prudent, what would be the rationale if pushed hard that, okay, the commission says this is prudent based on, and we'd say it was a good deal, and it would seem like it would change our rate-making principles and what we normally do. It'd be very hard to support that on appeal that we did this, that this is a good idea, without completely restructuring what we do.
It's true.
Yeah. Back to my point, I
think
we've gotten to this point in having low-cost rates.
It would be a deviation from the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess what I would say is that if it's okay with Jerry, or you guys, prepare an order as if we talked about the position that I talked about, and then, Randy, if you want to draft something different, then I think you can, and we'll have an order ready to go in, not the next meeting, the two meetings from now, and we'll just... you can staff it around. If we want a work session, we can. If not, then we'll just vote on it. Because we've got a meeting next Wednesday, right? So that'd be the 10th? So the 17th, 24th, if we look. See, that's not much time, actually. You look at that's right. You said the end of March. So we could look for it, have an order by, get it out to us a week before the 24th. And if we need to do a work session, we will. Otherwise, we'll
you're talking 24th of February.
February, yeah. To vote on it, February 24th.
The other would be the 9th of March if you wanted to put it out there further, but I'm comfortable with the end of this month, too.
Randy, do you have any thoughts about what you might want to do? Or I don't want to put you in a box either.
Well, I'm just trying to think ahead. So, because you've brought up challenges, so how would we justify a challenge if we approved this? What do we do to justify if we do not grant ADP? By not granting ADP, I'm not sure how it would get brought into a challenge on our decision, a legal challenge, but in just a discussion type of a challenge, how do we justify the requirement that we've put on NSP to build gas generation in about the same, a few years later in the eastern part of the state?
Well, I would say that was something that was offered up in a settlement agreement that they agreed to as part of an overall package. But yeah, it's certainly apples and oranges. And
that's a reliability because they don't have any generation of that type, you know, not intermittent generation in North Dakota. So there's, you know, benefits to the system here. And if there's outages or transmission issues or whatever, our customers are more at risk.
That's a good point. Thank
so
you.
So I think that's the one of the rationales for
the
that.
Red River Valley has long needed additional something in there. We got the CapEx line in that was a big help. But I think it's still an issue in eastern North Dakota.
And I think the may and the shall I've always used as a guiding factor for the ADPs. It says we may do it, not we shall do it. So. But do you want any more time than that 24th, Randy, or does that seem okay with you?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay. All right, I have nothing else, Madam Chair.
All right. Anything more? Okay. Well, then, Jerry?
So we're drafting at this point one order that says that we don't find it's not prudent, but we don't want to give an advance prudent.
You know, if you want to answer that.
I don't. I would like it even a little bit cleaner. The commission cannot determine the prudent. You know, just very clear. Yeah. There's not not enough information to the commission to determine this is prudent. So yep. Not the flip side of what you just said. Yeah. Okay.
Same thing we did for the solar.
Don't tell me it's not something. Just keep it clean.
Okay.
Before the paint dries on my answer about that the 24th would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should reconsider. As long as this is taken, I don't know if there's a big difference between the 24th or whatever the next meeting would be, the
March 10th 9th.
Or something, the 9th. You know, it would be nice if I could see that order and decide whether to
do a competing
order. Just agree or do a competing order or
no,
exactly
right.
What to do. So, you know, depending on how long Jerry thinks it'll, if this were done in the next couple days, but it probably won't be. So maybe I should say that it would be nice to be able to have till that subsequent meeting.
It's fine by me. Julie,
I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. And I'll try to get something out earlier than that so you have good time to look at it.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, then I guess the work session on case number PU-15-96 is concluded.
Madam Chair, could we go through some scheduling items?